Hello, hello.
Hi, Karen. We are good to go.
Alrighty.
So, all right, let's start with your year of graduation, including if you finished up coursework spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Sure. I walked in May of 2023 and then finished up my credits that summer.
Got it.
So was completely done by August 2023.
Awesome.
Yep.
And your major or majors?
Major is music business with a focus in marketing.
Great. And what was your principal instrument?
Principal was voice, vocalist.
Awesome. All right. We will get to your history later. But for
Sure.
now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Sure. Well, I work currently at the Rockefeller Brothers Fund in New York City. I've been there for about the past 6 months, so it's pretty recent life change. My role is I'm in the communications department, so I'm the digital communications specialist on the team. And the fund itself, I'll
Yeah,
start
tell us
with that.
about
It's
the
a
fund. Yeah.
it's a philanthropic organization. So it was founded in the 40s by five of the children of John D. Rockefeller Jr. And it was started to be what it is today, which is really a primary philanthropic arm for a lot of the missions that the family had. The fund's mission itself is and I've got it written down here, so I read it verbatim.
Okay.
Advanced social change that contributes to a more just, sustainable, and peaceful world. And so really what you'll see with the fund's work is it's an international organization, meaning do work all over the world. There are different thematic programs for the fund. Democratic practice, sustainable development, peace building, and then arts and culture.
Wow. Do you mind sharing, about, I mean, I not ask you for any private information, but
Sure. Yeah.
about how much does this fund span off each year?
That I wouldn't be able to give you off the top of my
Gotcha.
head.
Okay.
I think certain things are public info, but I wouldn't be able to
Got it.
piece together what exactly right now.
Okay. But I'm guessing if it's Rockefeller, it's probably something decent if they're employing
It's
full
yeah,
time.
man. It's you know, it's a yeah, it's an organization with a big presence, and there's a lot of impact made.
That's awesome. You said they do work all around the world. Is any work done in the United States? I totally get that a lot of other countries are much poorer than the United States, so you can get more bang for the buck. I'm just curious.
Yeah, there's work done in the United States. In the Democratic Practice Program, they're one arm of the Democratic Practice Program is the United States. And so, advancing democracy in ways that are geared towards inclusiveness, equity, things of that nature, there's definitely work done in the US.
Gotcha. Fantastic. Can I ask about how many employees? It's based in New York, I assume.
Yes.
And how many folks are, how many office mates do you have? How big's the office there?
Its office is about 60 people. So it's actually not a huge, if you look at somewhere like the Ford Foundation, a lot more employees. So it's pretty small number comparative to some of the other bigger
Gotcha. And
organizations.
of the 60-ish, you are the digital communication specialist?
I am the digital communication specialist.
Awesome. So yeah, let's go a little more into your job. What's a typical work day like for you? Take us through hour by hour.
Yeah, sure. I'm lucky enough to have a couple other people in my department. One of them is my manager, director of communications, who's brilliant. And A lot of my focus is the daily execution of things. And so, we have a social media presence. We have a presence in people's inboxes in email. And those are two of the more technical aspects of my work. So,
Okay.
Copywriting, drafting copy, some more creative elements too, in terms of designing graphics and things of that nature. Making sure the things we represent externally really kind of align with our mission and, the forward thinking, vision. But at the same time, it's, a lot of our media isn't about us. It's really about the grantees and the work that's being done on the ground, that we're lucky enough, to have partners with all over the world. So it's a cool line that I draw where I'm writing about certain things, certain work that's being done, but it's not from a perspective of ourselves. It's really just, based on the incredible work being done by other people,
Right, so you're focusing on these other projects that you're helping, basically.
And then another aspect of my job is there's it's arts based, and so it's the one thing that kind of ties vaguely to my arts background is the Arts and Culture Program, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, has something called Pocantico, which is a season based kind of program in Tarrytown, New York, little upstate New York,
Okay.
where there are arts events hosted. And part of my communications job is also promoting those events and connecting with the Pocantico department, and celebrating these events and getting them out to audiences.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, I guess I'm wondering. You're the digital communication specialist. You are sort of creating content with the known stuff. Do you do any kind of on-site reporting? Do you kind of, are you sort of told what to write up about today? Or do you say, hey, this would be a good thing to showcase? You see what I'm asking? And I
There's
get
a
that you're
little bit
new
of,
there.
there is, and that, that makes a difference. But it's a little bit of both. There's definitely a lot of room for brainstorming, creative, suggestions and just thinking all around. I also have a manager who's very open to that, who's, open to receiving those ideas, I should say. But it's mainly for me, there's already a schedule set out and there's already a larger idea. There's already strategy in place. And so it's making sure that I, really stick to that for the most part.
Sure.
If I have ideas come up, I can bring them. But the other thing I find often is that there's not a lot of time. It's quite busy, and so a lot of the work does just end up being execution based,
I know, I get that. All right, let's see if I can get an honest answer here. On average, how many hours a week do you work?
Good question. Honestly, probably about 35 to 40.
It's just a standard full-time job hours.
Quite standard. Yeah, 9 to 5.
All right. Oh, that's great. There are plenty of full-time jobs that are like that, and there are others
Yep.
that are a lot more.
Yeah.
So cool. And one of the criteria that you have to hit to do these interviews is that you enjoy what you do. So what is it about the being a digital communication specialist that you enjoy?
That's a great question. It's funny. I found kind of over the past couple of years, there is a lot of similarities with working or practicing in the arts, where there's a big focus on just cultivating community, and you have a message or set of messages or an idea or a mission or whatever it might be, and you want to really cultivate an audience around that. So I feel like the core or like the identity of my work almost never changed, even though it's very different than working in the music industry. The simple thing you're trying to do is still connect with people and still make sure that your message is getting across. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you feel like you're in your element, in other
Yeah, that's kind of it's yeah, the thing that makes me happy is still the same thing.
words. All right. That's great. So let's take it back now to 2023. Although, if you feel this story has a logical earlier starting point, we can take it back further. But otherwise,
Okay.
put us in
Yeah.
your head space as Berkeley's wrapping up and, I'm guessing you weren't thinking communication specialist at a foundation. Could be wrong.
No, definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, put us in your head space as Berkeley was wrapping up, and then we'll take it one step at a time from there to where you are now, both in terms of what you were doing for work, but also in terms of like where your head was at mentally in terms of your career.
Yeah, absolutely. I think 2023 is a good place to start. Or you know what? I'll actually start during COVID, and it'll be brief. It'll
Sure.
be like a couple of minutes, because I took some time off during COVID from Berkeley, and I'd already declared my major. So now we're talking like 2020, 2021. But I was feeling like a little, I don't know. I guess how a lot of people do in college, a little lost, a little disillusioned, maybe. Not sure exactly what I want to do. I grew up like in the arts. I went to an arts high school in New York City. I've been playing music and, doing musical theater and acting like for a majority of my life. So going to Berkeley was not that hard of a decision for me. I knew that it was a possibility going in that I would want to maybe not be in music afterwards. I'd always had like an affinity for politics, for social justice, for community organizing. And so I knew that that's something that could be a part of my life, but I didn't really have any strong ideas about what that was going to look like.
Sure.
And so I got to Berkeley. I enjoyed my time. COVID came around. I took a year off. I lived in Brooklyn. I worked at a coffee shop, and I kind of started thinking like, all right, there has to be some sort of plan in place here. And I got back to Berkeley and just realized that I had to, I was graduating in a year and I had to really start piecing together what would be my goal. Like, where am I going to apply? Like, I didn't have a lot of internship experience. I didn't, there wasn't a lot of my resume that really led me in any sort of direction. And so that's both freeing, but it's also like, pretty scary. It's like, dude, I'm 22. Don't have a lot going on. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like in a year. And
Sure.
so, I'm going through the final, music business classes. I'm taking, advanced negotiations with J.P. Alkov, which shout out J.P. Alkov. It's an awesome course. And, I'm starting to get some education, including your economics class that's, kind of based outside of music. And it's kind of given me, all right, a little bit of an idea of what's outside that bubble. And I think May rolls around and I see this listing. A friend actually sends me a listing for an opening for an internship in DC. It's for an organization called Telos. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to apply, man. Like, I'm just going to apply. I think it was like the last day to apply or the last couple days to apply.
Okay.
I just sent the application. Telos does work based around Israel-Palestine, and it's a peace-building organization. They do advocacy work here in the U.S., and it was something, you know, that I definitely really cared about. So I was like, this can't hurt. I'm just going to go for it.
I'm cueing ominous music here, right? Because this is a few months before the terrorist attack.
And that's correct, yeah.
Came after, yeah.
Yeah. And so I did get that role, and I started about a couple weeks before October 7th. So
wow.
It was an interesting experience, to say the least. Yeah. So that's kind of what led up to the start of, where I am now.
Well, okay, so you just applied, and it sounds like you didn't have any special connections to Telos. You just, someone sent it to you, you applied, and you ended up getting it.
So someone sent it to me, and they had a Telos leads trips to the region.
Okay.
So they're a trip leading organization, and someone that I knew, a close family friend, had been on one of those trips. And so they were able to vouch for this organization and kind of give me details about the work that they do, which was very, very helpful.
So they helped you learn more about it, but it's not like they were working there and then vouching for you.
No, they weren't working there, no. I didn't know anyone there at the time.
Great. We don't have to go into as much details with your current job, but kind of what happened with Telos? So you start working there a couple weeks later, a whole lot changes, I imagine.
Yeah, a whole lot changes. My role kind of changed overnight. I was working as an intern. I was the only intern, and it's a small team.
Is it a paid intern or an unpaid internship?
It was a paid internship.
Cool.
Yeah. And it was in person. So I was living in DC. Mm-hmm. I felt the entire kind of organization change overnight. So parts of it are a blur, man, because it was it was very chaotic, and it was so, for someone who had just come in a couple weeks ago and new to DC too, it was just very, it was a crazy thing to live through. But it just kind of turned our work, up. The gears started moving faster, and, you know, it ended up bringing the team closer, and it really gave us, even though it was a very stressful time, that moment also gave us, a lot of newfound hope from all the people that we were able to really begin engaging with, you know, who were maybe not necessarily tuned into the conflict before.
Great. So how long were you working there at Telos? Was that, did you just go straight from there to the Rockefeller, or was there an intermediate thing?
No, I went straight to the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. So I ended up at Telos for about a year.
Okay.
So it ended up, it was briefly full time as well.
The internship was part time?
Or I should say it was briefly a hired position. The first internship was September to December.
Uh-huh.
And then they offered to extend my internship through the rest of winter and the spring. Mm-hmm. And then I came on board, I think that April or no, maybe later, towards the summer, I came on board as part of the team.
Was it doing communications work or something else?
Yeah, it was doing communications. It was based around both digital communications, what I'm doing now, and it was a lot more. There were a lot of elements that were more creative for that job. I was doing a lot of video editing. I was doing a lot of graphic design more than I do now. Okay. But I was also, there was a side of it that was much more ingrained in political engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, basically we, TELUS has a lot of partners, both individuals and other organizations. And, you know, they would come to DC and, they would, you know, want to meet as constituents with offices of, you know, their senators or their representatives. And, I was lucky enough to not only help schedule a lot of those meetings, but go to those meetings, meet with many of the offices of different, members of Congress and really see that side of Washington as well. And that side of the work.
Great. So can I ask, it's like you intern for a while, then you're brought on as a full-time member. So what makes you then leave?
That's a great question. Cause I was beginning to grow like really happy. It just happened such that, you know, that second leg of my internship is coming to an end. I hadn't received an offer from Telos yet, just to be transparent. And so I was looking in other places, you know, and
right. You have to land on your feet.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, the RBF was one of those places. And it's an organization that I felt immediately very connected to. So it's just, yeah, it ended up being the choice that I made.
So if I'm getting the time right, because you're being very polite about it, sounds like you're filling out applications, you're applying to a bunch of places.
Yeah.
So your application's already there in the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation's hands at the point when Telus says, hey, good news. And then...
Yes, that's pretty much how it happened.
Yeah. Educated guess. The Rockefeller is a better... You decide it's either more money or better career potential.
It's, you know, it wasn't even that as much as the choice, man, was more like, do I want to stay in Washington and continue this work, or do I want to try something new?
Gotcha.
At a time when, yeah, I told you I didn't have much like work experience outside of Berkeley. I didn't have much life experience like outside of music. So a big part of the decision was I'm happy here. There's like some really cool stuff going on. You know, there's projects that I'm leading. There's things that I'm really excited about, but also I have this new opportunity now. Right. And so I just had to weigh those two things. Like, was this life change worth it? And I was really excited about the work the RBF was doing. And that was kind of the main thing that factored into my decision. Yeah. Cause I was at the point where I was like resume wise, I was, you know, going in the right direction. And so I think either choice I made as far as my career goes, I think would have been, reasonable, you know?
Sure. It also sounds like you're from New York too. So maybe that was a plus.
That was a total plus, yeah.
Yes. All right. Awesome. And that I assume you were hired into your current position?
That's correct, yeah.
All right. Fantastic. So we'll move on to the third part of the interview of three.
Sure.
And let me preface the next question with there is no right or wrong answer. So,
okay.
These days, let's define these days as like late 2024 into 2025. What, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
That's a good question, man. You know, if for a little while I didn't like, well, I should start in DC. Like, I lived in DC for a year. I lived in like a really crummy apartment. You know, I was like an intern, so I didn't have a lot of stuff, and I didn't have any instruments. Like I play piano, I play guitar. I didn't have anything really. So I lived like without music as a part of my life, really, for the first time, for close to a year. And you know, a lot of the work I was doing was creative, and so I wasn't necessarily missing that creative element that music gives me. But it was something I noticed as kind of a negative. Like, okay, you made a choice to switch careers and not have the arts be directly ingrained in your life. So that means, you know, you have to find a way to balance the two. And so when I got to New York, and my work became much more technical, and it's really less creative, you know, there's still creative elements, but it's much more execution based. And that was a real thing that was missing. Like, creativity was like missing in my life. And so I just did the thing, I guess, a lot of people who make music but don't work in music do, which is I got a guitar. I started writing music for the first time in a while. And it was kind of like the first time I connected with music, like outside of school or like something that I had to do. You know what I mean? It was the first time it was like a choice that I made. So right now it's basically, I'm like working on building a little studio setup in my little office space here at home. And I'm writing songs. I have this guitar and thinking about getting a keyboard, you know. So it's totally just kind of like free rein on the music side. I'm not playing any gigs. I'm not doing any of that yet. Maybe I will. My buddy's in a band who lives here. He also went to Berkeley. So I go to a decent amount of his shows.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. For what it's worth, that's not an uncommon thing. I throw people into four categories, which kind of go, if I were to kind of put them in order, there's like, you know, call it, you know, side job or casual or personal or passive. And you sound like you land right in personal at the moment.
Yeah, I would say it's like, yeah, that's a perfect word for it.
Yeah, terrific. So next question I have for you is, you know, I say Berkeley is a bachelor's degree, and there are many jobs which say bachelor's degree required.
So, yes.
But let's say beyond the fact that it is a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current job or career?
Oh, that's a good question. I think yes and no. You know, the interesting thing about Berkeley is, although it exposes you to so much like unique stuff, even like the student body, I think it's like 50% international, right? I mean, you get exposure to a lot of things you wouldn't otherwise have at a more regular, you know, college experience. But at the same time, you're also in a bubble. And so that thing I talked about earlier where I didn't have like life experience outside the arts, really. So it sheltered me a little bit from, I think, experiences some of my friends who didn't go to Berkeley got to have, just in academia and preparing for life outside of music. But at the same time, it does equip you with some unique things. Like, this is corny, but it's like the value of the arts is like, I think, something a lot of people don't understand. And to be trained in music and to have those resources at my disposal, like whenever I want, and to be able to sit down and be creative for hours if work is stressing me out or life is stressing me out, that to me is like priceless. And so that's like the first thing I value. The other thing is you do have a lot of faculty from like all walks of life, from all sorts of different backgrounds, right?
Yep.
I mean, you have a mathematics background. Jay Fialkov, who I mentioned, is a lawyer, right? It's like endless. And so you have all these people who are still brought together by this common thing that allows you to really, at least for me, I understood like early on how to be able to talk to people and connect with them and find things that we connect about, even though we're from completely different places, completely different walks of life. And it was my first time being outside of New York too. And so to be able to find some common ground with someone from, you know, not only like Wisconsin, but from like France or something, and be able to form friendships with people from all over the world, I think that's a good skill that Berkeley can help you develop, because it's, I don't think it's something you get at a lot of more like standard colleges.
Sure. Sure. No, that's great. All right. So let's flip that question around now, because Berkeley gives that one degree, the bachelor's in music. You went there knowing that. You're doing very well for yourself. But all that said,
all right.
Yeah. When you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, it would have been really helpful for me to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Is there anything?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I think some, I don't know, because it's an art school, man. So it's, you know, it makes sense that the focus is music. I was honestly surprised by how kind of in-depth, like, the mathematics curriculum, for example, was. Like, you teach with a lot of passion. I had a lot of, like, teachers in humanitarian courses, like, non-music related, that taught, again, with like a lot of passion and very in-depth. And so that was something, especially my senior year, as I was realizing that I really probably wasn't going to go into something music related, that I grew very thankful for. And I feel like I connected with a lot of faculty that taught things outside of music.
That's nice, but this is one of the, you're giving one of those, you know, oh, my flaws, sometimes I work too hard or something, you know. If there's something that you wish had been different, spill it out. You don't have to turn this into a backhanded compliment.
No, it's fair. I honestly, that was truth. That was also acting as a little bit of a buffer as I tried to think of something. I don't know,
if you
man.
Have nothing, I can just say another satisfied customer. There are some people where that's what I
well,
write.
Well, you know what my brain goes to is, there's often times where I was like so swamped in work, in music related work. And again, obviously you're paying for a music education, and so there's that. So I'm not sure how much of it is a me problem, but the reality was, a lot of the time when I was looking for non-music related things to do, when the 2020 Democratic primaries were going on, for example, and I was volunteering for the Bernie Sanders campaign and like trying to make time to phone bank, and he was going to have an event in Boston, trying to make time to help organize for that and things of that nature. Like, I often had like scale degrees and hours of harmony homework like hanging over my head, and you know, it was hard to basically find ways to do time management with that kind of stuff. And so there was a sense that sometimes I wish towards the end I had to take less credits that revolved around music, you know, as someone who wasn't as interested in their senior year.
I hear you, and I know that this is a kind of fun fact, is Berkeley's not the only school that does this. It's like bachelor's degrees, accreditation agency says there's 120 credits. You're not allowed to require more than that for a bachelor's degree. And there's some programs that 120 credits is not enough. Like, you want to go to BU and, you know, or, you know, SUNY and major in history or English or even chemistry, like, you're okay. But you know, for a lot of these professional programs, like say nursing, 120 credits is not enough. So what nursing
Right.
does is their nursing schools will be like, yeah, it's just a 120 credit program. Of course, you've taken like 5 semesters of biology and 3 of chemistry before you started, right? Right? What? I didn't do that in high school? Well, you can take those here. They don't count toward your 120.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, what Berkeley does is we throw some class where you work your butt off, and then we call it a half credit or a 1 credit class.
Oh, yeah. Or a lab or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I'll tell you, just to peek behind the curtain, a lot of people definitely talk about all the workload and having to handle it in time management. But a lot of people actually cite that as a feature. They're like, oh,
yeah.
I get really good at keeping 20 balls in the air at once.
That's honestly, and yeah. Power to them. Like, maybe it's just something I wasn't good at. Yeah. But at the same time, yeah, it felt like, look, my roommate and my best friend, who's a Berkeley student, was a film scoring major, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's all about music. And he, you know, he was drowning in work too, man. And it was like, it was funny because he, him and I both kind of had the same problem, even though his passions were directly involved in what he was doing. So it's definitely like, yeah, I think it's something worth mentioning.
Oh, yeah, it's intense. Cool.
Yeah.
So next question I have for you is, again, you seem to have figured out that you wanted at least to try something beyond music after graduation. And
yes,
you're
yeah.
open to it. And that kind of, you ended up, I'm not saying you went straight from Berkeley to a high paying job, but you got an internship and then that led to a job and led to you being where you are.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You had a, again, I'm not saying it was an instant path to where you are now, but it's a fairly
yeah.
straight path from Berkeley to where you are now.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Let's see, there are a lot of other people who, you know, might be class of 2023 who haven't yet found that path. And
sure,
other students,
yeah.
you know, who still at Berkeley, staring out into the big scary world and not sure what's coming next. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
It's a good question. I took a big risk. I thought I was just gonna, I honestly, I didn't have a lot of self-belief towards the end. I was like, dude, I don't have a lot of job experience. I don't know. So all that was left was to kind of, take risks. And with the Telos thing, applying to that internship, I felt like an oddball, and I feel like that's probably something a lot of Berkeley people, who aren't ending up trying to go into music feel like. It's like, dude, you have a 4-year degree at a music school. Why are you applying to this job? Is what I thought that interview was going to be like. And so at the beginning, it was kind of an insecurity of mine. Which is a little embarrassing to admit, but it's just really how it made me feel. And the interview ended up being like, oh, dude, that's awesome that you have a 4-year music degree. That's so cool that that's part of your identity. And now you want to contribute to this organization. What are ways you want to do that using your arts background? And it ended up kind of being something people appreciated and an asset, and something I could really spin into a unique skill set. And that's going to go for every single graduate who wants to go into a different field. I think the first piece is when you take the risk of applying to something outside of the industry is understanding that you have something that makes you unique that you could really, really sell. And like my thing, I was music business. I was in the marketing track. So a big part of it was, look, dude, I have this creative background. I love being creative. I love connecting with audiences. I love engaging with other people. I love spreading that message. Like that's, you know, that's something that people who are interviewing you want to hear. And so I think having more of a set of assets than you realize is like the biggest thing. And then the other thing is like, you have to recognize, at least for me, and I think for a lot of people, it's like you don't have as much experience outside of this bubble that other people might. And so a big part of it is you got to kind of throw stuff at the fan and like, you got to apply here. You got to apply here. It's like a second education almost where, I don't know, you got to look at all these different fields, look at all these different resources and try to absorb as much information as possible. And one of those things is experiential. And so you have to experience, you know, as many interviews as you can, as many job applications as you can, like the boring and the scary stuff, you know what I mean? Is a big part of it. And then, yeah, I don't know. Part of it feels like I just got lucky too. You know what I mean? Like you apply for a job and you get a job. Like part of that feels like luck. But the reality is, you have to use every part of your background at your disposal. And it's actually that something that makes you stand out among interviewers.
Sure. That's great. And I'd say this too, because you might know, just if I can add something to it. I know I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, you might be aware that I do not have a music background being at Berklee. And
that's correct. Yeah.
I kind of got that Berklee job extremely randomly. But let's say, you know, so you could say I'm at Berklee because of dumb luck, and I am. But there's an alternate universe in which I went to Berklee. I was dumb luck. I, you know, phoned it in for a couple years. And eventually Berklee said, okay, we hired someone with a better background. And I said, okay, and off I went. And I think back, oh yeah, I had a couple years stint at Berklee, you know, and then just kept right on doing test prep. And instead, right. You know, let's say I got the opportunity and I said, okay, whoa, I just got my lucky break. I'm going to sink my claws as deep as I can into this thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know,
100%.
Right. You get what I'm saying, right? There's that, there might be that initial luck, but then there's, did it turn into some little thing? All right, you got an internship, but then I can only assume you did a good enough job there that they turned around and offered you a full-time job and this other place offered you a nice job.
Yeah, that is what happened. And part of it was I was doing work that I cared about, like that I was passionate about. I think a big, big thing in work culture, a lot of people work in places, where they do things that they actually don't enjoy, you know, and, so if you want to consider something outside of music, it's making sure that it's an area that you're really, really interested in, where you're not going to have to try to work hard is maybe the most important thing, where, like you said, you just sink your claws in and really like show people why you're so valuable, you know?
Got it. Okay, yeah. That sounds great. And now let's zoom in a little bit because, again, you're somewhere around my 257th interview, plus or minus two.
Man.
And but you were either my first or maybe second communication specialist at a nonprofit. So,
okay,
you know,
cool.
No one's listening to all 257, but this is a resource. And let's say maybe there's someone listening to this who is thinking about working as a communication specialist, maybe even at a nonprofit or maybe just in general. And, you know,
sure.
Anyone who's made it this far is probably at least toying with it as a potential career.
Sure.
So
yeah.
For someone who's not yet doing a job like yours, but is, you know, a Berklee grad who's thinking about it, what specific advice do you have for them?
Yeah, let's see. The first piece would be what I already mentioned, which is communications. No matter what field you're in where you're doing communications, there's a lot of similarities with audience building in the arts. And so a lot of the things you've experienced already doing music are going to apply. And so you you do actually have a lot of skills at your disposal already. And so going through, I mean, I did this when I was applying to Telos. It's like I wrote down, like I looked at the job description and I wrote down a bunch of stuff that I'd done that could even like somehow relate to this that I could bring up during the interview. Booking shows, you know what I mean? Things like that. Right. Or sitting down. I used to sit down with artists sometimes and we'd like come up with a little 6 month like album release strategy or something. That's a campaign. That's like a social media or marketing or digital campaign. The same thing happens in other industries. So knowing that a lot of your work could actually be very similar is the first thing. The second thing is there are a lot of creative elements in communications. I think more so than people realize. And it's such a kind of well-rounded industry where anything from video editing to copywriting to public speaking to photography to all of that fits under the communications umbrella. And so your work in communications from person to person could look really, really different. So you also you have to appreciate that there's going to be a lot of creative elements, which I think for most Berkeley grads will be an exciting part of it. And you also have to be open to your work kind of being unpredictable. You may not know what you're going to end up doing in communications, right? And you have to be okay with that and kind of approach it with an open mind and a willingness to learn.
Got it. That's wonderful. So, Karim, I only have one last question for you.
Sure.
You have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
Let's see. I just think as someone, I don't know, I mentioned to you, you know, before the call that this is an incredible resource to have for students. This was something I looked for. I remember like scouring LinkedIn and trying to find like Berkeley graduates and different, you know, like finance, whatever it might be, like, to see if it was like possible to kind of branch out in that way. So I think if you're someone who's in the boat that I was in and you're kind of realizing like, dude, this might not be for me. It's coming up on senior year. I'm having a change of heart, or I'm starting to realize the reality of things here. It's like, to me, that was like really, really freaky and scary. And it actually made me like freeze in my tracks for a little while. And I think having, I don't know. I think that's something maybe that's not always mentioned. It's like you gotta have an understanding that it's a really cool opportunity more than anything. It's scary, but it's like
what's a
really
cool opportunity?
Just the chance to experience a career outside of music. If that's something that interests you, you have to approach it as a cool opportunity and something that you can get the most out of. So that's something I would tell myself, you know, to go back in time, to not be kind of freaked out by like all the uncertainty, you know.
Totally understood. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Graham, I really enjoyed this conversation. It's especially fun when it's a former student. But
yeah. Same here, man.
So yeah, you're in a cool place in your career. So I that's extra enjoyable.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time and best of luck with everything.
Thank you too, Kevin. Take care.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye.